Radio 92.7 FNZ. Willie P. in the building. Hope you're enjoying yourself on this beautiful Friday afternoon. We will continue to break down what's going on with the Charlotte Hornets overall and also continue to kind of give you a little bit of insight into what you might be thinking is going on. We'll hear from Mitch Kupchak coming up as part of his 1 o'clock press conference, as well as Mark Williams and Bryce McGowans, who are both taking the podium right now as well. Looks like Mitch Kupchak's actually going to join Kyle Bailey next week. Don't know again, we were thinking it was probably going to be today, but it will actually be next week. So maybe they've backed off on some things as far as what's going to happen, or could mean something else is afoot. Who knows? But we'll see whether or not the Hornets have more up their sleeve. But we're asking kind of the constant question: how satisfied are you today? And I again will reserve the judgment to at least allow things to develop, but I have to say, with, you know, talking about Friday in a vacuum, I come away with it a little bit dissatisfied that there wasn't a warm body that came back in that trade. This is from David, not a Duke fan. He says, I love WFNZ, but I'm constantly frustrated when you guys talk about the Hornets and Panthers. It's a waste of time to hope, to think, to root for either of them to get their acts together and become relevant. It's sad that FNZ can't be a college sports talk show year-round. You guys have a tough job in this city. So, who knows? Stanford P goes, does that mean that Mitch traded his interview for one later on? That's not nice. That's not nice. Come on now. That's not nice. That's bad. Look, I know there's a lot of angst, a lot of agita, a lot of dissatisfaction. And look, I'm there with you. But at the end of the day, they got the player that I think we all wanted. Like that's I think the important thing to come away with, at least from the draft singularly, is that they got the player that they had been linked to, they had wanted, and it's very similar to the Panthers. The board fell into their hands and into their fashion, and they used the board to acquire currency and also to get their team better with a player like Mark Williams. And Mitch Kupchak said as much, saying that he feels like they addressed their needs on Thursday night in the NBA draft.
You know, going forward, we have picks every year now, first-round picks, and we have multiple second-round picks, you know, good currency in our business. I think we've addressed, you know, the main need, which is a big, which we discussed earlier, right? And then I think we got a really nice other young player, 19-year-old player, Bryce, from Greenville, South Carolina, you know, like a 6'6", 6'7", combo guard. And we like him, so we're good. We're happy.
Now, all those things are true and fair. I can't dispute any one of that. They had a needed big man. They filled that, and they got a big man. They probably got one of the best big men they could get at that level in Mark Williams. Some of you might say they would have rather had Jalen Duren. I get that. But in terms of the rim protector, true five, lob threat, high screen and roll type player, Mark Williams fits what they want to do with LaMelo like a T. So that at least alone, I'm not going to sit here and say you throw a parade for them saying they got the pick right, but at least that's the part that they did not screw up. The part that I keep coming back to, and you know, my boss and everybody else who's looking at there saying, well, who's that player out there? It's first off, number one, that's not my job to figure out. That's their job. Second off, something that just improves this roster. And honestly, an improvement of this roster would honestly fall into the category of shedding the $30 million salary of Gordon Hayward to go out here and get somebody who actually can contribute and give you 82 games. Like, does that not qualify as a roster improvement? Or using the tradable asset of Terry Rozier and the $100 million that comes along with him to go out and get a player that's better than a 6-foot undersized shooting guard? Like, does that not constitute quote-unquote improvement of the roster? Like, people keep saying, oh, we all, you know, it's all about what deals are out there. The deals are your creation. Now, again, we don't know if there's other deals out there to be had. We don't know if the Hornets are trying to transform this roster in a way that I feel like we all agree could absolutely use some changes. But if they go into this season, and Rod Boone said it, if they go into this season with largely the same roster that they had this past season without major changes, then how do you go about selling me on the philosophy that removing James Borrego was the right decision? Because running it back with the same roster, that ain't it, Holmes.
Well, I think you would hope and bank on another year of growth and development from LaMelo Ball, Miles Bridges, health for Gordon Hayward, and development for James Bouknight, Kai Jones, Kelly Oubre becomes more consistent. I think our best hope, best case scenario, is Mitch is waiting until free agency to overhaul the roster to figure out how, because, you know, when you trade contracts, you got to match money.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do that when you're trying to trade away a $30 million contract in Gordon Hayward. You're trying to trade away the contract that is Terry Rozier. And it might be easier next week to do all that. Maybe that's why he acquired the first-round pick for next year as well, as another tradable asset to package in a deal. But we won't know until next week. And if we come out of next weekend, because usually the NBA free agency period, it booms right from the start. If we come back after the 4th of July holiday and you've got the same roster, then it's going to be even more time to be panicked and worried about what the hell they're doing over there, because it wouldn't make any more sense than it does right now today.
Yeah, this has to be a precursor for something. Again, he said they're not going to make a splash in free agency. That doesn't mean you can't trade players and make a splash that way. Like, this has to be a precursor for something else. I at least hope it is, because if it isn't, and literally your modus operandi going into the offseason is retain your free agents, maybe add another player, that's boring AF, first off, and second off, it's not what I feel is the best direction forward for this franchise.
Yeah, what would be a splash trade this offseason? Like would Miles Turner
Aiden. A sign and trade for Aiden?
But you know, like pre-finals, you could have sold me on trading for DeAndre Ayton, or post, you know, pre the second round of the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's come out about him since then, and some comments that guy has made publicly about his lofty goals in the NBA, which is to just get that second contract, and he's done. Do you want to invest in that guy and have to give up maybe Miles Bridges to get DeAndre Ayton here with LaMelo Ball?
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
I wouldn't let go of Miles Bridges.
And you know, I don't know if Miles Turner would be a splash.
No.
It would still upgrade your team.
It's a ripple, I'll say that.
I mean, like the splash might be getting rid of salary as opposed to what you get back.
And I have no problem getting rid of salary, because that salary frees you up the ability to sign Miles.
And the issue with these contracts, and I think we forget about this so many times, as a small market team, to get a Gordon Hayward here, to get a Terry Rozier here,
you got
to
pay the Charlotte tax.
You've got to overpay them, which makes it harder to move them later down the road.
Exactly. And that's part of the reason why I shrieked when I saw the $100 million given to Terry Rozier last year, and Norfleet and I argued about it until the cows went home, and I'm still bent about it, that I still feel like, you know, yes, it's a tradable asset, but who wants a $100 million undersized shooting guard? And I know I keep saying that with regards to Terry Rozier, but again, I think Terry is a luxury player and a good player on a championship team. He's not a cornerstone player, and definitely not one on a team that is trying to figure out what its identity is in rebuilding. I don't think he's the kind of foil you look at and you say, oh my goodness, that's what you pair with LaMelo Ball. I think
I'm not a big Terry guy.
I'm just not a big Terry guy. That's what it is. I know it sounds like I kill the kid, but it's meant more for the betterment of him and his development and the betterment and development of the franchise. I just don't see how it mixes. I just don't.
They still won the trade, and I think that's something that we still got to remember, is that when they made the decision to move on from Kemba, as emotionally charged that was, and you got Terry Rozier back.
I was sitting in this seat when it happened. I was very much wondering what it was looking like.
You know, so
but they won the trade, you're right.
You know, moving Terry's going to really depend on what happens with Kyrie Irving. If the rumors with him and the Lakers are true, well, that takes the Lakers off the board, and they were ones that expressed interest in him earlier back in the season as a potential trade target this offseason. So there's going to be a domino effect, I feel like.
Malik isn't signed past – is Malik a free agent again? Would it be a Malik and Terry reunion? I think Malik is done, right?
I believe he signed a one-year deal in L.A.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't hold me to it. So that they're going to have to play the waiting game.
Of course.
To make this splash move, to whether they're bringing a guy in or they're trying to dump salary, you got to figure out what happens with Kyrie in Brooklyn, with Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert in Utah. Like, you got to figure out those answers first, and then once you get those answers, it'll be easier to see a pathway to move a Terry Rozier or a Gordon Hayward.
Steve from Salisbury says, the thing about trades is you have to have someone who is willing to take one of these players they need to get rid of, or you have somebody who's willing to take on the cap space and have them negotiate a buyout, which is kind of what Detroit's doing with Kemba Walker. So I'm not saying it's necessarily a situation where they don't want our players. It's just the Hornets haven't found a deal that they like for any of those players. This is Mitch Kupchak saying that when I asked him how active they will be on the open market.
Well, the first thing we need to address is our own free agents, right? And then we'll figure out how much flexibility we have after that. We may have a roster spot. I don't know if we'll have two. And, you know, maybe what we'll do is look to add a veteran player. You know, I don't know how much financial flexibility we'll have. You know, it could be just a minimum, right? It could be a biannual. You know, it could even be more than that. But it depends on how our free agent, you know, signing back our own free agents goes. But I don't think it's... I think it's possible, but I don't see us going into free agency and making a big splash.
That doesn't make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside if you're a Hornet fan, though, that last sentence. I don't see us going and making a splash. Now, that could just be a slow play. I'm not saying you take Mitch at his word with that comment, but, you know, and Rod said it too as best. He said that the moves that they make are very much more, you know, below the surface area. They are methodical. They don't always make sense in the moment. And I think last night's trade of number 13 overall for next year's first rounder from Denver and 4 second rounders, one they flipped later on, that falls into the category of methodical, because I don't know what the corresponding move, because I do feel like this move last night isn't made without some foresight from Mitch Kupchak that there is going to be a corresponding move down the road that involves those picks being flipped for something that represents at least a warm body. Now, there are other comments and things that are being talked about in terms of the Hornets that we'll get into coming up, including about the head coaching search, because I do feel like we have to spend a full segment on that just to kind of encapsulate our thoughts there as well, because that is still a very separate and convoluted issue to go through that I do feel like we have to at least get more into that. We'll do that here coming up at 1:20. But in terms of the roster construction and where the Hornets are, I do feel like we have to at least look at this and say, if this roster is not fully transformed, not fully transformed, but if there wasn't some significant change that took place, either from a salary shedding standpoint or an infusion of talent, then Mitch Kupchak has to be on notice. And that's, I think, not putting it bluntly, but just putting it calmly and saying that if this is really something that's holding you back, or if the coaching staff is really holding you back, then you have to make this happen with this roster immediately unless you're willing to change it.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that because they like Mitch. And I like Mitch too. But enough's enough already.
I feel like, because remember, his contract was expiring. Him, you know, re-upping to stay here and see this thing through means I think he has a plan. Now, will he be able to execute that plan? I don't know. He wasn't able to hire a head coach successfully. That's turned into a fiasco. So I feel like he's got a move or two up his sleeve that he's going to be able to make. I do feel like, though, that adding Mark Williams last night, they upgraded the roster. It transformed. They have something on the roster they didn't have last year. They have perimeter or not perimeter. They have front court depth now with Mark Williams, Mason Plumlee, maybe a Kai Jones or a Montrezl Harrell. Now, they do got to find another scoring option off the bench, and they need to add a perimeter defender or two. But I'm not going to be comfortable saying that guy's entering the next season on the hot seat, because he's done the best GM job we've seen since the Hornets came back.
It's true. It's very true.
Like it could be worse, because it has been worse. You used to have a guy who was food blogging instead of figuring out how to field a competitive basketball team.
Incredibly true, but comparing Mitch Kupchak to the bar of Rich Joe, I mean, I understand that it's better than it's been, but I need to see some sort of change and progression to the system before I at least give a vote of confidence in that direction. It is Sports Radio 927 FNZ, and also I need to see a head coach hired. The name that's being talked about right now in the Hornets circle is not one that's providing a lot of optimism, and what Mitch Kupchak said last night about the importance of the head coach also has some people scratching their heads as well. We'll talk about that next. Sports Radio 927 FNZ. Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ. Willie P. in the building. Hope you're enjoying this discourse, I should say. Text from the 704. Your goal is just to get rid of everyone without any succession ideas, coach, players, GMs. It's easy to say that when you don't have any to replace folks. So we should just be okay with, you know, not making the playoffs? I mean, I do feel like there's good things on this roster. I feel like there's good parts on this roster. I feel like there's good bones on this roster. But I also feel like there's overpaid parts of this roster that are precluding. I mean, Brian Geltzeiler and who was the other? And James Herbert both had this very same type of attitude towards the Hornets when we had them on earlier this week. They both were basically saying there are contracts on this roster that are keeping the Hornets from going out and enriching the talent on this roster. It's all great if you want to go out and develop your own, like waiting on Jalen McDaniels, waiting on Kai Jones, JT Thor, James Bouknight, all these guys. That's fine, well and good, and responsible business. But $30 million a year for Gordon Hayward and $100 million over 4 years for Terry Rozier, that's not good business, unless you're using it to try and acquire something else. And that's all I'm saying. Whether it's going out and getting a DeJounte Murray, going out and getting a Jalen Brunson, going out and getting anything that could possibly be better than what is on this roster right now. I'm not saying it's garbage, but what I'm saying is you need more. You need more talent on this roster to be able to compete. And it shouldn't just be an all of a sudden, defeatist attitude, being like, oh, well, we're a small market. We just, we have to be just okay with our, our hat in our hand and, our spot in line, and that's okay. And we'll just, we'll hope to God we get another LaMelo somehow, some way, and play it all out. Well, I pardon me for sitting here and saying, just play it all out, because there are places that are non-traditional NBA markets that have gone out and done things and done extraordinary things in this league. And pardon me for not wanting to try and be one of those teams, like a Phoenix, like a Milwaukee, like an Atlanta. And also, there are certain issues that people have with the fact that, we still are sitting without a coach. The report coming from first Mark Stein and then corroborated and furthered by Rod Boone, who had two sources tell him that apparently Steve Clifford, the ex-Bobcat head man, is at least looking at an opportunity to possibly rejoin the Charlotte Hornets in some capacity, whether that is as a head coach or potentially an assistant to whoever the Hornets might hire. Weren't able to get that on record from Mitch Kupchak last night, but he did say this about whether or not they are at least trying to get themselves back to square one with their head coach search. I asked Mitch Kupchak whether or not it is back to fully square one after Kenny Atkinson said no to them a week ago, and they still sit without a head man.
Our owner's been in town, you know, since, I believe, I'm not sure, Monday or Tuesday? Tuesday, probably. So we did speak on the phone, obviously, when it happened. And, yeah, we spent a lot of time together since Tuesday. And, you know, in person, you know, going over candidates that we've already interviewed, maybe some new candidates, you know, making sure that we cover our bases.
And one of the things he did say also when I asked him, hey, theoretically, would you hire somebody that wasn't on your list at the beginning or wasn't somebody that you had talked to before you had made the decision to hire Kenny Atkinson before he spurned you? And he said, sure. So, you know, Clifford, who I think from all indications was not part of the discussion tree first time around, at least is being talked about for some kind of role. Now, I think Fitty and I are both in agreement that we don't want to see him get the head coaching job, but if he is a defensive coordinator on a staff that involves somebody else as the head man, that's probably a better way forward for both of us. But I don't know what that attracts if you are the Charlotte Hornets right now, and that's the guy you're saying is the shepherd of your group.
Yeah, that would be the worst case scenario for an offseason that's already gone pretty bad. Bringing back Steve Clifford, a guy whose theory and the way he believes the game should be played doesn't fit the NBA model today. It's why he struggled here in Charlotte at times. It's why he didn't last very long in Orlando. And I don't see that type of guy. I'm not saying he would hinder LaMelo Ball, because it's really hard to hinder that type of talent. Would he get the most out of LaMelo? I don't know, because he didn't get the most out of Kemba from time to time. And I think LaMelo was a much more naturally gifted player than Kemba Walker was. So if he's the you know, a defensive assistant for Mike D'Antoni, or he's a member of Terry Stotts' staff, or a Sam Cassell staff, or an experienced guy on the bench, sign me up. As the Hornets head coach, no. Like, you would literally be rehiring a guy you fired after firing a guy that you fired Steve Clifford for.
By the way, they are being introduced right now, are the two new Hornets, according to pictures that are being sent from the press conference. Looks like McGowan's is going to wear number 7, and Mark Williams is holding a jersey that wears number 5. So he is replacing the number that was currently held by James Bouknight. Would Bouknight switch back to 2, I'm guessing, and then LaMelo to 1? I'm not sure how that would work, but it is what it is. The scenario that sits right now for the Hornets in terms of a head coaching position is they're sitting in a scenario where they're more than likely going to be going right up to the end of the moratorium on talking to players before they actually get a head coach in place. The moratorium gets underway on Thursday afternoon, or the moratorium is lifted, rather, Thursday afternoon, and the legal tampering period begins for teams to start talking to NBA players. If they don't have a head coach by that point, is that a worrisome situation for the Charlotte Hornets? I don't think so, but there are some who feel like it is a little worrisome.
I mean, in theory, would you like to know who you're going to be playing for if you were to sign here? Like, not who you're playing with. You're playing with LaMelo Ball. You're playing with Miles Bridges. But who are you playing for? It's really hard to sell free agents on a vision when you don't have a coach as the vision.
I think the vision's being dictated by Munch, Kupchak, and MJ. But it is what it is. Spence says, Willie, Mitch Kupchak should already be on notice. He told us ahead of schedule and then fired Borrego, who'd been begging for a center for 3 years. Mitch lacks direction and should be replaced. Now, I don't think that he should be on notice already. I said he should be on notice if there aren't appreciable improvements made to this roster during the offseason.
I don't know if he lacks direction. I don't think he was willing to overpay or overtrade for a center. And where they were in the last couple of drafts, there wasn't a big man that was worth taking.
You're right.
I think it was being an experienced GM.
Well, how do you feel about the assessment? I forget who it was on the text line earlier in the show who said that that Kai Jones was a rushed pick or somebody who was taken in haste, if you will, because they were trying to settle for some sort of solution at young big man without having any foresight about Williams the following year.
I have no problem with them taking a chance on Kai Jones, because if that guy develops and he works out, he's a freaking unicorn. He can do 18 different things for you on the court.
Got to have a better shot.
You know, something that most teams don't have. This city's never had. I had no problem with that. That was the first time we've really seen them be aggressive in recent memory in the NBA draft. Now we want to complain about it? No. If it's 4 years down the road and we can look back and say that move completely hindered the LaMelo Ball tenure here in Charlotte, then we'll say that. You can't say that right now.
I don't know if you'll ever be able to say it, because I think the biggest problem right now is that there isn't an identity for this franchise. The identity is LaMelo Ball exists. There isn't a shepherd. There isn't a leader. There isn't anything that constitutes as a person you look towards and say, you know what, that's the guy for this franchise. You could say it's Gordon Hayward all you want, needs to be on the floor more. You could say it's Terry Rozier all you want, can't disappear in big moments. You could say it's LaMelo, but at the end of the day, LaMelo's still only 20 years old and going into his third year in the league, and I feel like for a lot of people has still some stuff with a point to prove. So as a result, that's the guy that you're looking at and saying that's your quote-unquote leader. I'm not sure if you're there yet. You can even say Miles Bridges could be possibly that guy, but the problem with Miles is he is unsigned as of 6 days from now. So there's still a lot of satisfying that needs to be made for me in terms of whether or not this group has it going in the right direction. Now, the big comment that came at the end of last night, the one that shocked everybody, was this from Mitch Kupchak when he talked about the importance of a roster versus the man who's in place.
The roster is really what wins the games. You know, a good coach is only going to help with the roster. But the most important thing is to get the roster together. And we'll get a good coach, and we'll be in good shape.
So that tells you how much they feel like the importance of the head coaching position is. As Itty Bitty Fitty said, that's awful bold and braggadocious to say when you're still without that position in your hierarchy.
I know that Taylor Jenkins has Ja Morant, and he has Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane and all those guys.
How many times do we hear coaches say, you know, those guys make me look good?
But like, okay, like, Taylor Jenkins lost Ja Morant for 25 games where they were 20-5. Coaching matters. And right now you don't have a coach. And you just had a coach turn you down to stay as an assistant with the Warriors. Still not a bad gig. And now you're on record saying that the roster is more important than the X's and the O's? You effectively made this job harder on yourself to find a guy to take your job. Because you just told that guy, it doesn't matter how well you coach, it matters what roster I give you. And look, I get what he's saying. You got to give him talent to win with. But it also helps to have a coach who can coach that talent. Something that we all thought James Borrego was capable of doing.
Dexter from the 704 says, why are you guys wanting to sign Miles as an experienced center when you complain about the games missed by Gordon? I'm guessing he's saying about Miles Turner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
Miles Turner represented something that they don't have on this team, which is a serviceable big man who can start for you.
On both ends. He's a five out big. So your offense could go to another level. He can hit 3-point shots. He can do the pick and roll. He can do the lobs. And also defensively can guard the pick and roll, can get rebounds, and protect the rim.
And I understand folks who say that the injury concern is something that you have to be worried about. But to me, it's something that you still look at and you say you take the chance on him because he serves you in a position where you are very much underserved right now. It is the Nick Wilson Show, Sports Radio 927 FNZ. Your time to weigh in is next with what you're burning on. And also, we give you an opportunity to hear the Nick pick and the final listen of the Jim Solania, Gold Brick of the Week on Sports Radio 927 FNZ. Sports Radio 927 FNZ, Willie P. in the building. Texter from the 704 goes, Willie P. wouldn't know a good food blog if it slapped him in his pretentious face. Is that a Rich Cho joke or a Willie doesn't know food joke? What is that? It's a little weak. A little weak from you, 704. Okay. Did you just do a Willie's laughing drop?
Yes, because I actually thought that was funny when I saw that come through on the text line.
How do you have a Willie's laughing drop?
We have many drops of you doing many different things.
Oh, is that a fact?
Yeah, kind of like my database of photos of you on my phone.
Which is still creepy.
I've got like 70 different sound effects of you. Between
70.
Yeah, Flounder and I.
70.
Yeah, we have a lot.
What is the weirdest sound effect you have of me?
Here's one from the other day. No, it would help if I cut the computer on.
I was about to say, you're struggling here.
Santa Claus.
So I have one for Christmas time. this one makes absolutely no sense.
Team needed some milk.
They did need some milk.
Got this from your rant the other day.
No, bologna.
I love bologna though.
So you just have to, in the back of your head, whenever you're going full Willie P, we have no life. So I will sit in that side studio and dissect everything you say and isolate it.
You should have just stopped the sentence that you have no life.
Well, most people know that.
I don't want to sit here and act like I have no hope in the direction of this franchise, because I do feel like they did a good thing yesterday by getting Mark Williams. And I do think that the McGowans is a player that represents something of a little bit of hope as well. Because I do feel like when it comes to second round picks, he's probably about as hope driven as you could get. But again, it's a second round pick, and you take what you can get there with that. This organization has a pretty good track record of developing and turning second round picks into real great commodities, and also just turning them into great players as well. We'll see whether or not McGowan's is the second or is at least the next edition of that. But I think you're fooling yourself if you think this roster is anywhere near set. And also, I think you're fooling yourself if you don't think that there isn't at least something to be said for having just a little bit of criticism with the way that things went last night, without independent of something else happening down the road. And I'm still allowing that to come to pass, but I'm still somewhat skeptical about the direction forward. And a lot of that skepticism centers around the fact that there are a lot of these unanswered questions that we do not have answers to, like what's happening with Miles Bridges, who's the head coach of the team, and what's happening with Gordon Hayward and Terry Rozier. Texter from 336 goes, we are better than we were yesterday with Mark Williams. We're essentially adding three talented first-round picks to the roster next year if we give Book Knight and Kai playing time. Last year was basically like another year of college, except in the G League for them. And, you know, leaving out Thor in that thing, as I also still feel like you need to give him some time, because I think the one thing that you get from JT Thor that you at least know you have in his bag is that he plays defense. JT Thor plays very, very good defense. His offensive game is still a work in progress, but he's somebody who will get immediate playing time if he can play defense and play the way that he did in limited action last year. I still have to see more from Book Knight. I think the jury is out on him, and Kai Jones, still greener than grass. And I'm wondering whether or not that ever develops for him, because if he is that tweener, like we say, you know, if he's too short to be a five, but too, you know, tall to be a four, you're wondering whether or not he develops to become an NBA player. And his shot does have to get better in that regard. Our Nick pick of the day. Yesterday we did not get a victory, unfortunately. And that's a real shame, because I did like the Jason Alexander joke. You didn't like the Jason Alexander joke at all. But I'm calling it. I'm going with it a second time this week. I think the Stanley Cup final ends tonight. I think Colorado gets it done, and they win game number six, and it's all over. And I think they'll win it in six, and they will hoist the Stanley Cup for the first time since the early 2000s. It's time for What You're Burning On. Final chance of the week to get your opportunity to weigh in on the Nick Wilson Show. 704-570-9610. Robert, who called during the break, it's an opportunity to vent on anything he might want to do so. I'm guessing it's probably having to do with the Hornets. Robert, go ahead. You're in What You're Burning on Sports Radio FNZ.
What's going on, guys?
How are you, pal?
I'm doing good. I had to come outside and make sure the sky wasn't falling, though. I mean, look, I understand some of your frustration, your criticism, but I'll say this. To me, Steve Clifford is not a bad choice. As a matter of fact, I think he's the best choice. He's a defensive coach, so we know we're going to defend. And the 1 year that Michael Jordan gave him players was the year that they finished tied for fourth with Miami. He actually has some offensive players. So now, if you, like you said, the roster's not finished. And just think about this. They won, what, 43 games last year?
Yes, sir.
How many more games do you think they would have won if they got one more defensive rebound?
I mean,
I'd say anywhere from 3 to 5. Easily.
At least. I mean, I think there were at least a half dozen games last year where you looked at, and there were pointed examples. You know, the Houston game is one everyone likes to point out, and a couple of others that just really left you wondering why at the end of the day. And I do feel like that puts you in a situation where it takes you out of the play-in round and puts you in a 7-game playoff series.
So do you think that Mark Williams is going to shore that up?
I hope so. They say he's...
No. Come on. What do you mean you hope so?
Kupchak says he's not as good a rebounder as he wants him to be yet.
He's pretty dadgum good. And the one thing that he does now, when's the last time we had any threat in the post?
That's, again, Big Al, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. So if I'm Michael Jordan, I bring Clifford in. You know they're going to play defense. They have offensive weapons. So if you put Clifford in, a defensive coach with the offensive weapons they have, again, remember the 1 year when they had Allen, those other guys, Jeremy Lin, those guys, when they gave Clifford some offensive players, he did pretty well. So I'm looking forward. I hope they get Clifford. I trust Mitch to get our roster right. And, I'm not as I think that the future is pretty bright. As far as Kai Jones, dude, you should be out shooting 500 jumpers right now.
Right.
A day.
Appreciate it, Robert. Thank you so much. Some levity from Robert. And again, I don't mean to be such a negative Nancy, but I just what I want to see is I want to see this roster take the right steps. And I thought we were going to see some of that last night. I was a little disappointed, but we'll see whether or not the Hornets can make things happen over the course of the next 6 to 9 to 10 days. And also we'll see whether or not they get a head coach. What are you burning on, Itty Bitty Fitty?
So I usually have 82 reasons to hate being a Knick fan. Nothing ever, though, amounts to how much I hate that team on draft night. Because whatever the hell that was that they did last night is embarrassing. And the fact that they're not addressing the media today after pulling that stunt they did last night.
You saw Leon Rose put out a statement on Twitter.
Oh.
He put out a statement on Twitter.
It's embarrassing.
Don't spit on the microphone. People have to work there.
You have Stephen A. Smith literally praying on national television to not nick it up. And then you go out there and you nick it up. It's just... At this point, it's almost laughable how bad they are on draft night.
Sorry. I cease to have hope for the Knicks. I really do. Just because I feel like that is a rudderless ship. That's a rudderless ship, definitely. Charlotte FC this weekend taking on CF Montreal. It is a 7 o'clock pregame time, 7:30 first kick from Montreal. I do think that Charlotte FC... We'll have some fortified resources with Kamil Yuzviak and Karol Svidersky both coming into the fold. I do think also there is the ability to get back with a team that you really felt like you earned or were owed more than, just because of the fact that you were not able to make things happen against them when you were at home. It was a 2-0 defeat. They do not have one of their stud players, Georgi Mihaljevic, available to them. So looking forward to seeing whether or not Charlotte FC can get themselves back on the winning track and do so for the first time away from home. That is what you're burning on here on Sports Radio FNZ, and it's time to reveal the Jim Solania Gold Brick of the Week results. In fourth place, morning workout gets no love from the audience, no love from you, no love from Beth. Were you able, after I explained it to you, to realize why she said what she said?
Yes, and I cherish that woman even now, even more than I already did.
In third place is crabs. I love crabs. Second is my rant, so you don't get to hear my ranting and raving again. Instead, we'll let you hear edgy Sam Donald once more.
It is ultimate. I am the ultimate real quarterback of the NFL for the Panthers. And it's going great. Coaches behind me, man. I'm really edgy and nervous, man. I'm popping Xanax like Skittles. I'm down here for training camp. No one's here. And I got all my full pads on, dude. And I got my helmet on. I'm burning up. But I don't know where everybody is.
Sam,
all I hear is
Sam,
birds.
The training camp doesn't start for like 4 weeks, bro. You know that, right?
Oh, bro, dude, are you kidding me?
Yeah, we're not kidding you, bro. At the training camp, I'm so sorry, Edgy Sam Donald. It doesn't start until the end of July. I mean, I love the spirit.
Oh, dude, I'm going to go surfing now. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm getting really edgy and nervous about this controversy, dude. Bro, I'm serious. What's going on? Can we just all be buds? You know what I'm going to do? I am going to play the badass. I am going to get a haircut. I am going to get a do you think I would look? Do you think I'd look better with a mohawk or just go complete bald to be a complete badass quarterback?
I think completely bald, bro.
That is edgy Sam Donald, and that's a great way to end it. You have made 3-year anniversary week for me awesome. Again, one of the first things I did was the PJ Washington draft here with you guys, so happy once again to be a part of the fold. It was great working with you too as well this week, Itty Bitty Fitty.
Oh, Willie, this week flew by. I had a lot of fun with you. You had a lot of fun with me.
Easy.
But no, you did a fantastic job sitting in Big Daddy's chair. And I'll look forward to the next time you're sitting across from me.
Can't promise you what kind of shape Nick Wilson will be on Monday, whether it'll be one of those weeks where he still feels like he's on vacation the first 3 or 4 days. Too soon?
That's usually how it goes.
Hope you enjoyed the time this week. I will talk to you on the Charlotte FC broadcast on Saturday with Jessica Charman. And as far as when I will talk to you next after that, we will see, as we always like to say. Until then, we say so long, and thanks for listening to the Nick Wilson Show, Sports Radio FNZ.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Lord, I love you, Carolina.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
See you later!
Charmed, I'm sure.
That's all, folks.
Okay, bye.